This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. So yesterday, I was sitting down and recording with Corey, and then today, it's like 3 weeks later, and our schedules have been so wild with your work. I mean, you're working, what, 12-hour days right now?
Yeah, it's been an insane couple of weeks.
Yeah.
With some scheduling stuff and some this week deciding that it's like the first week of summer, even though it's, you know, September.
Right.
I've been going in super early to try to beat the heat and also to try to, I was trying to balance out two sizable jobs last week. Luckily this week I'm just finishing off the one full-size house. But yeah, it's been a blur of 3 weeks. Like I remember listening to the Corey interview and then all of a sudden I was like, I think we were supposed to record.
So on top of that, you've also had band stuff. You know, we've had a holiday and Alexander's birthday and just like time has just slipped away. I really don't know what we've done over the last few weeks other than just chase life. A turned 12. Most of his birthday was Star Wars-centric, which seems odd since we're Joe guys. But in his words, he was like, well, what else do I need that's not too expensive for a birthday gift? And true, to follow the Star Wars theme up, Ghost is at 19,000 people. It's clearly funded all the way through Zeb. It's about to hit, but right as it's hitting, Hasbro's decided to hit us all for all the things that were supposed to come in November and December and January. So it's a manic handful of weeks. I tried to sit down and edit. I have a couple Operation Recall episodes that haven't gone out yet, and I deeply apologize to those guys, and a few more that I haven't recorded yet. I apologize to those guys too. And with everything going on with my work and all the other stuff, like I couldn't even get those finished so that you and I weren't having to do last minute. It's weird because you and I aren't even really talking over the last few weeks. It's not like we're talking every day and then we just never turn on the mics. We don't even have time to like just be friends right now. It's very, very wild. So with a Star Wars birthday and the Ghost about to land on us, I don't know if you're caught up with Ahsoka. We're watching it every Wednesday morning before A goes to school.
I am caught up as of tonight. I watched it before we started to record. I feel like this episode is the first one that's left me like truly excited for the next one. Like I'm excited because it's new and I'm excited to see the Ghost. So, yeah, I'm like, give me some footage of the Ghost, please, for the love of God. All that being said, I've been canceling pre-orders left and right because it has been an onslaught. These are all things that I will double back and purchase. It's just I got the email, you know, several emails from multiple lines from BBTS to Hasbro with that, you know, friendly like, hey, just heads up, this is about to come in. Do what you got to do. And unfortunately, with the Ghost and life and everything else, I've had to cancel a ton of pre-orders. And it's all stuff that I want, but it's...
You can't afford it all on a single day. Yeah.
Yes. And it's also stuff that I'm fairly confident I'll be able to double back and get. It's all retail stuff. It's not like, you know, a made-to-order spaceship. But that being said, I mean, how do you feel about Ahsoka so far? Because you're way more in tune with everything leading up to the storyline. Like I have said, you know, I need to restart Rebels and pick it up and take it through to the end because I need to know what the spaceship goes with.
I know too much about Ahsoka. I don't know if that's the positive or a negative way to say it. I just know too much. You know, I've read the novels. I've read the comics. I've seen all the cartoons, the live actions. I've seen everything.
Well, I guess let me ask this because your answers when dissecting something Star Wars tend to be you tend to dive off the highest jumping board, pencil dive all the way to the bottom. So instead of opening up that door, let's just say, on a base level, how are you enjoying the story so far without, you know, like if you think there's a major character flaw or not enough of a character or something like that, like just from a pacing standpoint and as a new live action show, where are you at?
You know, I made no secret that I really didn't care for Mando or Boba or Obi-Wan. I loved Andor, but I also don't want all of Star Wars to be Andor, right? Like, I want Andor to be 20% of Star Wars. Rebels, Clone Wars, the original trilogy, that should be, you know, for kids, that should be the 80%. I think Ahsoka falls somewhere in between. You know, I think it's hard to do a live-action version of cartoon characters that people are deeply invested in. So the first couple episodes, of course, you know, an amazing cast, but everybody feels a little stiff because you're turning a cartoon character, which is over-exaggerated at every level, into a human. I've been really bothered by what feels like a betrayal of the Ahsoka character ever since she showed up in Mando and in Boba. There's been a couple lines of dialogue that reinforce that in this show, but I think for the most part, it's doing a great job of trying to pull her back to where her character should be. From where we last saw her to where she is now, there's been no growth. There's been no reason for a dramatic 180 turn. So I'm hoping that they give a little bit of that. But most of all, like, I'm just enjoying the show. It's nice to see a bit of a fun action Star Wars. I don't want to be negative about it because I'm not negative feeling about it. But I've obviously had some negative feelings about other portions of Star Wars. But then again, not all Star Wars is for me. And I got a lot of Star Wars. So,
I mean, I'll cap off this portion of the conversation by just saying, at least so far, what we're on episode 4.
Right.
At least in episode 4, we do not have a little sidekick.
I don't know what you mean.
With Obi-Wan, you have young Leia. With Mando, you have Grogu.
Oh. Well, we do have Jason, so maybe we should reword your cap off. Because Jason is that.
Which one? Who is Jason?
Her son.
Oh, well, he hasn't really started yet. So, yeah, all right, let's just...
He was riding shotgun in episode 4. He even threw out the titular, "I have a bad feeling about this" line.
You're absolutely... All right, edit that out. I have something else to say. I have been really enjoying seeing the... You'll know the name, but like the assassin droids, they've got like the cloaks.
Yeah, the HKs. Yeah,
those, I have really, really liked the heavy use because it like screams bats to me. And obviously I know droids are like 1000% Star Wars. What I'm saying is there's no character. There's no talking really. There's a, you know, like when they raid Sabine's house, do they talk? Yes. Yeah, there is some dialogue, I believe, in that.
A little bit. But I mean, there's also been a little bit of bat dialogue.
Sure. But I love that, like, these droids just show up and, like, are just truly ruthless.
The only thing I don't like about those HK droids is that the ones that are on pre-order right now, their heads look like they're missing paint apps. Like, it's just very bland. And it's all just bright red, which would go great with some Crimson Guard.
You know, what's funny is I have been truly dialing back everything that I've been purchasing that isn't like exactly what gets me like jumping for joy, excitement, and everything outside of G.I. Joe, I have been dialing back drastically because I tend to overdo things. But I did order 5 of those red droids because exactly what you just said, they look like Crimson Guard droids. But the thing is I really thought about it and I went back and forth. I ordered the couple that I can get from Pulse and then I like really thought about it. And I was like, you know, do I actually want these? And then I was like, you know what? They would go awesome as just a row of like 5 droids or robots, whatever you want to call them in the G.I. Joe universe. But like they're crimson red. I mean, at this point, Hasbro's given us in the 6-inch scale, everything under the sun and calling it crimson. Well, I'm going to treat myself to a 118 crimson bat.
That's amazing. I can't fault that logic. That's incredible.
I do agree with you, though. I will say that. I do agree that the 4-inch version is lacking some paint. The 6-inch version definitely has a better paint job. Well, actually, there's something we've been forgetting to talk about privately because we've been so wrapped up. But like all the Codename Iowa stuff is live. I booked my hotel. I bought tickets. Like it's happening. Like
for Iowa, I always share a room with Adam. I got the room last year because I was showing up first. He's going to be showing up first this year, so he's already got the room. I already have the estimate, so I've already started paying him my half. So by the time I get there, I want to have hoteling taken care of. I also already got tickets to dinner and a gear kit. This year's gear kit, there's two new things, or I guess there's two things of note. One is that they're doing shipping if you're not going to make it. So I would recommend the gear kit to anyone who isn't going to make it, although I would also just recommend you make it. And then two, the gear kit isn't going to be a 4- and 6-inch all-in. It's one or the other. So I'm assuming you got the 4-inch?
Yes.
We did as well. I left that option up to Alexander, and he did not want the 6-inch because we use all of those play sets in our 4-inch or our 3¾-inch anyway. So he wanted to keep that ball rolling.
You know, I got my first armor kit, whatever, you know, I don't know. Yeah, they call those armor kits. These are gear kits. But getting it and looking at everything, and then obviously I've seen the pictures of the little dios that you guys have, you know, used for the O-ring play. It's like, it makes perfect sense that he would direct it that way.
The other thing about AR for me is I'm going to bring Alexander.
That is huge.
You know, it's one of those things of I've treated this one as sort of the adult trip. But legitimately, he's getting older. He wants to be involved. He has asked me at least once a week or more every week since the beginning of June. So if it is this deep in his head for this long, it's important. After talking to Brian and then also talking to Ben and Mark and Aaron, it's time.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, there could be a point in time where he loses interest. So take it in while it's here.
And, you know, here's the thing is he's one of us. So why leave him out?
Yeah, absolutely.
In case you're not aware, not you, but everyone else, Assembly Required is in Des Moines, Iowa. It is the 3rd and 4th or the 4th and 5th of November, the Friday night and the Saturday of November. Codename Iowa is the website. You don't have to buy a gear kit. I recommend it. You don't have to buy the Friday dinner. I recommend it. You don't have to buy the early entry for Friday night. I still recommend it. It's Iowa. It's November. It's a G.I. Joe show. It's awesome. You know, we're all at the host hotel. I mean, we're in the lobby till 3 a.m. We all have a good time. We do shit together. It is a lovely show. It is one of my favorite shows, regardless of size, regardless of content. Gaming, comics, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, whatever. It's one of my favorite shows.
I'm very excited to finally make it. It's been kind of a loose goal of mine since even before we met. And so far, you know, it seems like the stars have lined up and I'm able to, you know, swing it. I bought tickets, booked the hotel. I am super excited. I'm not concerned about shopping. I mean, obviously, I'll have no problem shopping, but...
We never have a problem shopping.
I'm very excited to be there. But another thing I'm also excited about is... The trailer for this new retro-style side-scrolling video game that is like Sunbow Animation trailer, but the game looks closer to a 16-bit. This is truly one of the only areas of gaming that I can confidently say I can hold my own. Streets of Rage, you know, was it one of the only games I've beat? Golden Axe, significantly harder than Streets of Rage, also awesome. This type of game is just primitive enough. And with the trailer, kind of dissecting the trailer, it really has that vibe of like, you know, jump, punch and kick are one button. There's a special button very similar to both Streets of Rage and Golden Axe. Operation Blackout was, I know, had a lot of turbulence. I played as much as I could and then was just like, I'm not good enough at video games to have the patience to struggle through this. But like seeing this seeing this trailer that they released, from what I understand, the other games that this company puts out are very much a like nod to that old school style. And I'm ready. Let's go.
So I haven't done any research like that. I'm glad you're telling me about all of this. I did read that article where it mentioned that it had that co-op Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Simpsons style gameplay like Golden Axe. I saw it as I was getting out of my car and walking over to the pavilion to get Alexander after school. I immediately show him my phone, and his first words were like, "This looks like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game. I can't wait to play this." I'm excited. We have a Switch. We're going to play it. It's going to be fantastic. If it has online shit, then I will be hitting you up about online play.
I believe it does. And I'm curious to see if they have, like, fixed the friendly fire aspect of these games. I had a buddy over this weekend, and we played some Streets of Rage on the Switch. I had to keep, like, you know, playfully shouting at him and be like, "Dude, you've got to stay in your lane. Like, just stay in the lane, because the second you come over here and start kicking, you're whooping my ass."
Like, the Double Dragon games were like that, too, yeah. But if it has online play, if we can do four players, we got to get some online games going with Greg and Jaren, because I know they both have a Switch. I don't know if Casey and Matt do as well, but some friendly podcast co-op gaming sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm really banking on it being this, like, primitive, simple, fun. You know, we could probably all log on and beat the game in an hour. You know what I mean? Like, Streets of Rage is, we got it all the way to the end before, like, the friendly fire just took all of our continues. So I said, you know, all right, that's enough Streets of Rage for today. I am hoping that it has that, the awesome, like, 16-bit soundtrack, because as a guy that, you know, grew up with a Sega in the household, Sega's music was far superior to the Nintendo. I'm just talking about the music. I'm sure. Not talking about anything else, so please don't come at me. But
in today's world, I mean, chiptunes is a thing.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm sure I've talked about it before, but I collect records, and there are a couple record labels, or, you know, however you want to word it, like Mondo, they make toys, but they also put out records. There's a handful of companies that put out soundtracks from, like, weird TV shows or video games, and I have, like, avoided them like the plague, because there's a lot of money that goes into licensing stuff out. So, and then especially, like, when it comes to soundtracks, 80s movies and stuff like that, like, out of the gate, you're talking $40-$50. Now, I've purchased, like, Jurassic Park, Home Alone, were both records that I you know, that we prioritized to get for Nicole, because they're, you know, huge soundtracks, huge movies for us. And Mondo specifically does incredible packaging, like the Home Alone packaging. When you put the records and the jackets in the sleeves, it changes the windows of the house. So you have the different scenes from when he's got, like, Michael Jordan on the train set and stuff like that. Like, it really is the total package. But there has been tons and tons of these Sega soundtracks that have got pressed. And I, like, by the time I realized that they were happening, I had probably already missed, like, four, like, crucial records. And at that point, they were already, like, $100 to $150 on the secondary market. And I was just like, I'm gone, like, gone, gone. And I can't start buying, because if I start buying, I'll have to go back, and I just have to live without it. Luckily, everything's on YouTube.
So next week I should be seeing some record hauls.
Well, I will not truly not be going down this rabbit hole, because I will lose everything in my life. Although I did, ironically enough, I did order a soundtrack record today.
So as I said,
this is a one of one, because I recently just watched the Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do. And I had never heard of it at all. And my friend was like, "Hey, I've been hearing a lot about this movie. We should watch it." And as I've complained in the past on this show, I get really cheesed off when I'm watching a movie and there's, like, specifically drums, but any live instrument, and they're not, like, set up properly. And this isn't like a, you know, "Oh my God, this has to be perfect." It's like, this is a multi-million dollar movie set, and there's not a single human being on the set that had the idea to just Google a drum set. Like, they've been set up, a basic drum set has been set up the same since, like, the 40s. There's no reason that, you know, a set designer, you can't just be like, "Hey, figure it out." So we started watching this movie. Are you familiar with the movie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that movie came out 30 years ago.
Yes. It's not a new movie by any means. But in the beginning of this movie, it starts and there's like some overhead shots and this and that, and it shows a tarp being pulled off a drum set, and then someone sits down, and I said this out loud. I wish I was recording. I go, just like this. I go, huh, that's set up like a real drum set. And then the guy starts playing. That guy's literally playing the drums. So we're watching the movie, and I'm like, my brain is going wild because I'm like deep dive Googling, and like they went so far as to like the drum set that the kid is playing in the movie is incredibly time specific and accurate down to like the like crazy detail, like a company that most people don't know about because it was two companies split and one took the name and continued and the other vanished into the history of time.
So will you be trying to get this drum set?
No, not at all.
This is the kind of hauls I should be looking for in the next couple of weeks.
So, well, that being said, after the movie, I did some research and Tom Hanks insisted that the people playing in the movie, they could all play those songs.
Nice.
So they all took lessons for the instrument, essentially for the songs that they were performing in the movie. So when you watch the movie, it feels real. It struck such a deep chord with me, and it got announced this week, and the packaging is super cool, and it comes with a bonus 45 record that looks exactly like it did in the movie. And I was like, all right, this is a no-brainer. Like, this is neat, and it's fun, and it's one of one.
That movie, when it came out, it was popular enough or pervasive enough that you could not get away from that song. And through the sands of time, I have forgotten how the song goes, but I remember that song was probably stuck in my head for about 4 years. You don't have to sing it now. But
no, I'm not going to sing it now. But
it was a bop, but it was just overplayed at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure now, after 28 years of not hearing it, I'm sure I would love it again.
That is such a big pet peeve of mine. And we talked about it with like when we were covering Renegades, when I feel like music gets like improperly used for bits, or like part of my frustrations with the classified rock and roll are that surf rock and bar rock, heavy metal are not the same thing. So, you know, whatever. We don't need to go down that wormhole. But anyways.
No. Like, listen, hold on. I just had to navigate Star Wars. You're having to navigate music. I mean, this is the other side of us that is not encompassed by the G.I. Joe theme of this podcast, but is still very much a deep part of us both. So I'm happy to listen to you tell me every time a drum is improperly set up. I would never know. I just assume that everyone is air guitaring with a real guitar in their hand, or air drumming with a real drum at their feet, but you have a different relationship to those instruments.
Oh, surely.
But talking about, as I make jokes about all of the halls and things of drums and records that you're going to be bringing in, and the Star Wars stuff that both of us have been bringing in, you have gotten stuff in the mail lately where the only thing that I have brought into this house lately has been for A's birthday. So I don't have anything to share in terms of that, but you've been bringing in some good stuff lately.
Yeah, so I will start with the two non-Joe items, and then I'll end with the Joe items because I'm super excited about the Joe stuff. A long, long while ago, we were talking about what has become the new theme of Order of Battle, which is reducing what you're buying and tightening the reins.
I don't know if that's new. We've been talking about that for a while. We've just been failing to do it.
In the conversation of me really honing in, you know, slimming down what I'm buying, being overwhelmed, being spread too thin, reducing stuff and whatever, Acid Rain teamed up with Super 7 and launched these incredible figures with like floating brain dome heads.
Gorgeous, gorgeous stuff.
And we had a very similar conversation to what we just had said, where I like was like, yeah, you know, I'm like reducing this and that and that. And then this happens, and then you go, so let me guess, you're ordering, you know, X. So I ordered a squad of these figures, and then there was two exclusive that had the same head type, but drastically different colors and designs that were exclusive to an Asian seller. I logged onto a website I couldn't read. It sort of self-guided. I placed the order. They showed up.
Excellent.
You know, the Super 7 regular stuff was easy. I was able to order it through BBTS, and that shipment came in. I had enough time to open one of the figures. It is everything I wanted, and I cannot wait to eventually open up the squad and put their gear on. I think I got like 6 of the regular troopers, 2 flamethrowers, and 1 commander, maybe.
Just a couple.
And then the 2 foreign ones, you know, no big deal. Just a smooth 11 or 12, I think.
I'm proud of you for scaling back.
But with that being said, these were a crossover between 2 independent brands, and everything Super 7 does is one and done. You know, this is a smaller run because this is a collaboration of a Super 7 original, The Worst, and this new, you know, like whatever, made up faction within Acid Reign. Like, these are, you know, this is probably it for this, you know, quote unquote toy line. They were better priced than they should have been for being a collaboration with 2 brands, because
collaborations get pricey.
There are like 3 brands that all kind of float underneath the Acid Reign umbrella, and sometimes they get crazy pricey, and I'm just like, I can't do it. It's, you know, but whatever. So those came in.
I've missed a couple of those collaborations just because I was priced out, and it's because they're a collaboration, but Jesus, those things look great.
Oh, I mean, there is that one that you and I were drooling over with, you know, the New Balance sneakers and the little like aerosol spray paint cans, and they were just straight up too premium for both of us. And I doesn't take anything away from the figure or the design because they were gorgeous, but it was just, I can't swing it.
Yeah, not with everything else.
Those came and went. I'm super hyped. I can't wait to eventually get those open and displayed and figured out. And then I got an incredible little kit from Chicken Fried Toys. And it is called the Project 73 kit. This is essentially a factory produced version of what the custom class was at Joe Fest this year. So basically, this figure is a huge homage to the Westworld movie from 1973. It came with a really incredible bonus feature, and I'm not going to say what it is. All I'll say is, if you're on the fence about ordering it, just order it. The bonus item is incredible. It is one of my favorite figures from his toy line, and I might try to order a second one if I can get my finances in order. I mean, the Ghost is a really heavy bill that is about to charge us. You know, trying to be a little bit responsible. And then finally, our dear friend Greg worked out. Somebody he knows was selling a bunch of modern stuff, and he was kind enough to lump me in, and I was able to add 2 Crimson Guard Immortals to my collection, which is huge because that figure, genuinely have never seen one for sale in real life. I have one that I got off eBay. I still don't have a file card for any of them. So someday maybe I'll find that card back or I'll find a carded one and convince myself to spend way too much just to finally have the file card. In with this lot, I was able to grab some standard release troop builders that I love. I was able to grab another set of the Eco Warriors because I'm sick and I love those figures. So when I find them for a deal, I just buy them. You know, eventually when my collection is completely out, I've got a lot of building to do to customize these extra sets of Eco Warriors that I have. And I got a couple more Toxo Vipers from the club's box set as well. And I got another Repulsor. It's been a neon fest at my house. The thing I'm most excited about is adding 2 more Crimson Guard Immortals to my major battalion of Crimson Guard figures. Having these Crimson Guard Immortals in my world will be like squad leaders or commanders or generals, whatever, within the ranks of the Crimson Guard. I'll be able to build little squads that go with each. And somewhere in my life, I have a custom cast and painted black version of the head that I could either use for a Create a Cobra, which I don't really need to do anymore, or what I'll probably do now is use that head to build a Shadow Guard version of Crimson Guard Immortal, because I also have a boatload of the 50th Shadow Guard.
Will your basement be done in 2023 for us to see these things? Or is it going to be a 2024 situation?
Probably early 2024.
All right.
The next phase will begin within the next month or so. I've been kind of hounding my brother about it. Life is kind of calming down. You know, school's started back up here. So my nephew is back in school. obviously, I'm hoping, you know, if I can get, I only needed a couple weekends to get all the drywall up and finish the rest of the little bit of framing stuff so we can get the rest of the drywall up. But once the drywall's up, you know, that'll be easy for me to, you know, finish the drywall because that is my job. And then it's just, you know, getting it primed and painted is easy. And then, you know, budgeting money for the trim and the flooring.
And then the shelving, which is a whole other cost.
Shelving, I kind of have an ace in the hole because I'm going to go very primitive. And my buddy is going to help me basically just take, you know, slats of wood that are stained or painted and just brackets. And we're just going to build these shelves onto the walls. So that actually, I mean, it still costs money, but it's not the same as looking down like, you know, buying the IKEA shelves or, you know, buying bookshelves or like
something more expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. It's this will be like easier, more customizable and perfect to what I need. And also more affordable because I'll be buying the raw materials and paying my friend to help me.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.